Women That Lead presents Our Leading Edge, featuring your host, Jenna Forster, Mastermind Executive Coach, inspiring women to lead with alignment, passion, and purpose through conversations that inspire. Stretch yourself to a new level. Learn, grow, expand. And now, here's your host, Jenna Forster.
Good morning and afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Our Leading Edge. This is Jenna Forster, your host, and thank you for joining me once again. We are on our fifth or sixth show now. I'm really enjoying this experience, so I want to thank all of our listeners and thank all of my guests so far so that we can continue on this path so that we can always learn and grow together. Well, today we actually have a guest that's returning because there was so much information given on the last call and it was so popular that I've asked Scott Sadler back, and I'm going to introduce him in just a minute, but he's going to speak to us on a little bit of a different topic, and that's around female leadership and how communication styles have changed over the years, and we're going to get into some specifics around that. So should be a really great topic. Whether you're male or female, there'll be lots of information that you can learn from, and so that we can start to shift awareness and understanding and have leadership brought back into the forefront for everyone that's involved. So I want to introduce Scott first and foremost. I know that we spoke a little bit about Scott and who he is last time, but I'm going to go through a little bit more about Scott so you can have a deeper understanding of who he is and what he offers. And then I'm going to bring him in and he can say hello on his own. So Scott runs Creative Conflict Solutions, and his area of expertise, it's really around communication and specifically communication differences between the genders. He uses executive coaching, conflict solutions, and business processes along with emotional intelligence to enable everyone involved to converse better. As you remember from the last show, you know that Scott is well regarded as that upbeat, positive, and authentic individual. He offers straight talk, which is what I love about him. But with that straight talk, he always brings compassion. He brings that level of compassion while challenging his clients and the people that he works with to bring the changes that there are necessary so that they can create a better life and business and thrive from those changes. Scott has accomplished a lot so far in his life with nearly 3 decades in business. And he's also been recognized in different avenues. Like in 2011, he was recognized as the new business of the year by the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce. And that's for a lot of reasons. And you'll understand some more once you hear him speak again and once we get into this subject matter. So his unique perspective is what I love about Scott. He'll really focus on the people in business, and he really believes that all problems in business ultimately have a communication solution. So let's bring him in as a trusted advisor that he is, so that he can expand our thinking and he can bring some of that information to us. So Scott, welcome. Thank you for coming back.
Well, good morning. Hello. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, there's a big shift that's happening right now that I see, and it's around women in leadership. If you look at some of the statistics, I was just looking at CNN Money, and some of the latest statistics show things like 14.2% of the top 5 leadership positions within a company, that those companies that are better in the high level workings, those are held by women. And out of those 500 companies that can be found in the S&P 500, there's 24 female CEOs. And then if you look at it on a parliamentary level, 22% of individuals in parliament are female. So there is a shift that's happening, and a lot of individuals I know will hear those statistics and they'll say, oh, those aren't very high. But if you look at where we've come, it's really important to understand that while there's many variables that go into this, and we're going to spend some time today talking about that, there is a shift happening and it will continue to grow. So that's the understanding that I want to go into this call with. And I want to spend time specifically with you, Scott, talking about a couple of things. As I mentioned, I want to talk about female communication and how those styles have changed. Once we discuss that, we're going to move into how they differ, female and males, they differ. They differ in their communication style. So if you can dig in a little bit deeper on that, that would be fantastic. And then lastly, we're going to talk about that incoming millennial generation that you have expertise in also, so that we can see how they will relate to the rising of women in leadership. So let's get started. How do we look at communication styles in that subject matter of the change? How communication styles for women have changed over the years?
Well, that's a huge question, and that could be a four-hour show, of course. You know, what's interesting about being a coach from my perspective is that I find that most coaches are seekers, and I'm no different. And in the course of that seeking mentality, I started to ask, why are women not in more leadership roles? Many of my clients are women, and I started to wonder why more males weren't my clients compared to women in my early years of coaching especially. And that, coupled with the fact that I'm very interested in my ancestry, took me back in time and way back in time. I started to discover male roles and women's roles in life. And it's fascinating to look at because different organizations, different corporate organizations versus different tribal kind of look at things. And they're very, very similar. And women in early days were very, very equal and very much a part of society and decision making and held leadership roles. And at some point that shifted. In fact, it's only been since the early 20s in the U.S. that women have had a right to vote. And the shift seems to be, we're in a masculine time, and the shift seems to have occurred with the European settlers coming to the U.S. And before in the dark ages with the hierarchical kind of position coming into play. And that has transcended into modern day. So if we go back and we look at the early nations, the first people, they had these prophecies that said that we have these 10,800 year cycles, and we're currently, according to them, in one of those prophecies, leaving the era of man to initiate the era of woman. And in the Mongolian understanding, the era of man refers to a predominance of the masculine forces within the cycle. And we're now moving in the era of women to a prevalence of the universal feminine forces. But the idea is that without each of those, we're out of balance. And I think that's why we've seen women struggle over the years and having fight harder to have leadership roles. I come from a very strong women family centered basis. And so I have a lot of respect for women. I consider them my equal as a man, and I know that the balance has to be there. And when I see boards that have in corporate environments, that boards that have equal men and women or a balance, they tend to operate a little more efficiently and with more openness to how to run the organization. And the latest statistics have shown that women leaders of businesses are more than 20% profitable. So if you tie those back to ancient times, to the prophecies, and to the way Native Americans and other First Nations approached a council, those two things are in alignment. And I think we're moving through that period of time, from my observation, where it's very lopsided to a male-dominated society. And I'm excited about that.
That's really exciting, and I find that very interesting. Some of the things that popped out for me there is the cycles that we're in. And just looking at this from a higher perspective, if you will, and understanding that there's energy involved, and there's movement, and there's forces, if you will, involved. And when I say the word forces, that automatically brings me to the place of that other piece you spoke about around fight. And I know as a woman, and being in the business world, being in the corporate world for as long as I was, I did have a great deal of fight in me, where I spent most of my time trying to prove myself to the males around me. And so when I hear you speak about a shift that's happening, and I do believe that, I see it in the statistics, I see it in the number of women I see around me in organizations that are moving up to that CFO or CEO position. And so that's really interesting to me, because it almost speaks to me about I can let go of the fight. Not that I don't move or create movement, but is the fight really necessary? And I think that lands on the piece of stereotyping. Mm-hmm. Both women and men stereotype women.
Right, exactly. And it is so, if you look at back, tying back to those ancient peoples to where we are today, it is so ingrained in generation after generation of this association of who we are and how we're supposed to act, both on the male side and the female side, that we need a new awakening. We need awareness, and we need these things to come to pass from time to time. Eugene Debs, who was an American Union leader, he was actually a founding member of the Industrial Workers of the World, wrote this: man has not reached his best. He never will reach his best until he walks the upward way side by side with woman. He knew that we have to have balance between the different sexes because of the power that comes from combining them versus the disempowerment that comes from separation. And I find that today, in today's world, that's shifting. And when I say I'm excited about it, I am seriously excited about it. I see it in my work day to day. I see it with women friends who I've known for years. I've seen where they are and where they have been. And it is a real energy shift. And businesses and corporate environments are starting to understand that and take advantage of that. And I just can't say how exciting it is for the future.
And I think that's such a key piece, that piece about combining, right? It's not either yes. or. It's not male right. or female. It's not, there's no threat there. And I think that one of the stereotyping is the threat that's there, along with many other things. However, when we look at combining male and female so that we can create better, it brings me to the next piece of this. And yes, we can combine them, but we do differ. Right? We differ in the ways that we communicate. We differ in the ways that we work, which is why there's a beautiful dance when we combine. So let's talk about that, how female and male differ in their communication style.
Yes. This is something that some women will disagree with and some men will disagree with, but the stereotype is the problem, is when we begin to say all women and all men. So as we delve into this, I think it's important to keep an open mind. Deborah Tannen is a linguistics professor and an author of You Just Don't Understand. And she believes that men and women differ in the focus or the driving force behind their communication. I am in alignment with that philosophy. I don't believe that because you're born a man or a woman that you are stereotyped to be a certain way. I think that it's the focus and driving force behind what their communication is. So, you know, she has these descriptions to say, women desire intimacy in conversation, and that means that they want to feel connected to others. Well, I can tell you that as a man and as a coach, I want that same thing with my conversations and my communication with people. I want to make sure I'm connected with somebody on a real level when I communicate with them, but I'm not a woman. So, you know, that applies to men and women. It's about the focus and what we want. Men, on the other hand, desire to give information while remaining independent of the other party. And that's not my style, but I do know a lot of my friends and colleagues who that's what they want to do. They want to be able to give information, and they don't really want to engage with the other person and feel connected to that other person. It's not right or wrong. It's simply a balance. It's a balance of how they want to approach the situation. So if you have both of those working hand in hand together, that is very powerful. But if they work independent of each other, it can create conflict and separation.
And I think the piece of engagement there is popping out, where I think about women, and I do agree with that. I think women by nature want to connect. I know I'm an enormous connector, and I try to connect everything. So maybe I'm a little bit way beyond that, but women do want to connect. And that's such an important message to not only women, to not only men, but to organizations. And if you're looking to increase the number of women in your leadership team so that you can get that balance and you can combine or leveraging both male and female so that you have the best of both, then that piece around connection is huge. And how is a female going to feel connected to your organization? And that's, you know, that's a whole other show on culture and things that we build within the organization. But when we understand that conflict, when I think about conflict, I think about there's two reasons in my mind as to why conflict arises. When someone that's involved is not feeling seen or not feeling heard. And it doesn't matter whether you work in an organization and you're dealing with that there, or you're on the home front and you're dealing with that there. That, to me, is a very baseline issue of feeling seen and heard. So when I hear you say one of the main differences in communication is connection versus independence, and that level of engagement that females and males are willing or maybe even capable of making, then I can see a lot of room there for conflict.
Absolutely. And the conflict comes both ways. You know, you were born into a very male-dominated family, and you were told that you could not succeed beyond a certain level. And then you get out in the world as a youngster, and you start realizing you can. You have internal conflict with that right out of the gate. And you also carry that forward into your workplace, which has maybe even a different culture. We have these different micro-cultures that create more conflict than we realize. It's not just one conflict. I'm a man, you're a woman. It's all these other different beliefs that come into it. So the shift that's occurring is, it's just so big. It's hard to put into words. It's more monumental than we think it is, both from the male-dominated cultures that we're used to opening up, and the women-dominated, or the women cultures breaking open. And that's why women make up 40% of the top 10% of earners in the top 50 in business, which is the highest percentage ever. It grew from 35% in 2014. These shifts are happening and they're real. And emotional intelligence is being more widely received because women leaders have been encouraging that, nurturing, and people like me who are open to that. There's so much to this. It's not a one or two answer solution, but if you just are aware and are open to see the shifts, we can all get in balance and create better opportunities for each other, both men and women in business and in life.
And I think that's what it comes down to, is opportunities, creating opportunities. Yes. Not just for one or the other, not just for one person and that person. It's together, opportunities right. Together. I know for me personally, I specifically remember a moment in time in my life where my own father, who ran a business, offered my brother to shadow him to eventually take over the business, and offered me the position of secretary. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that for me was, that happened when I was young, like in my 20s. And that for me built a structure that I had to fight my way up to where I wanted to be. And yeah. I don't believe that anymore. And, you know, I love my father to death, but that is a very stereotypical way to approach male and female. And for me personally, when I stopped fighting and I started to see myself as valuable and yeah. of value to everything that I engaged in, that was a game changer for me. So there is a big piece there of letting go of the fight or the need to prove, and who are you trying to prove it to? And when we can talk about these baseline issues, such as women in their communication style are connectors. Men work more on that independent place. Well, the beauty of those two coming together. So what other items are there around the differences in the baseline communication styles between men and women?
Well, first of all, congratulations to you for understanding what you just described. So many people get stuck in the circular trap of fighting. And by no means should people take it, but they should look to make the changes from a place of feeling of value and find that place of being of value. If you're not feeling valued somewhere, find that place and you will succeed in your career. And I think that's smart that you did that. Some other differences in communication. Many women want to reach consensus. According back to Deborah Tannen's points, I think they're very spot on. Want to reach consensus, and they want to consult with others before deciding. It's a very collaborative process. Many men want to get straight to the bottom line and choose without consulting. Having done both of those in my lifetime, I can tell you that my approach is always a collaborative approach now, because I've discovered that when I'm in a hurry and I want to get to straight to the bottom line, I tend to make mistakes that I have to pay for later. And I like to bring in as many people as I can to collaborate. And that's typically what she describes women want to do as well. And imagine in a boardroom setting, you want to consult with others is more powerful for leadership roles than it is just saying, we're going to do this, and then I'm not going to consult with anybody. Women are about building relationships. Men communicate to give information, solve problems, and show expertise. And those are a couple of big variables between men and women in their communications.
And there's that piece of allowing, right? When we know that there's a difference in the way that we will work in this world, and when women just stick to that consensus and consultation, and when men just stick to that needing to be that level of information and knowledge and expertise, there is a tunnel vision that can happen on both sides. Mm-hmm. So if we can allow someone to, you know, I'm a big believer in contribution, then we can allow those around us to contribute so that they bring what we do up to another level, then that makes everything easier. It brings a level of ease, because it's like the concept of delegation, right? Like when you have others that work towards the common cause, then your piece of it comes with more ease, and you by nature allow others to contribute. So I love that we can leverage that.
Absolutely.
So when I think about where we're going with this and some of the other pieces of that, and I know there's a lot more differences in communication styles, and maybe you can touch on this in this last piece or not, it's really your call, but where are we going? And when I think about the next generation that's already in the workforce, and they're also coming into the workforce, we classify them as millennials, and how do they relate to this rising of women in leadership, and what do they bring to all of this?
Yeah, this is another topic that got me heading down this road, was working with millennials. And there is definitely a trend between the millennials and their leadership and the relation to rising of women in leadership. Let's take a look at what millennials are all about. Collaboration comes to mind. Most millennials would prefer to hang out with their peers and discuss problem solving in a casual environment, such as a coffee house or a work environment that is casual, then sit in a boardroom and be told or directed what to do. Most millennials are very open to new ways of seeing things, new ways of doing things. We have gay marriage being accepted now. We have communication all around the world on world issues that are being problem solved in outside of the political environment. The millennials and women communicate very, very similarly when it comes to family and business and relationships. And I think that those two things are going to continue to grow. What's interesting to me, and it's too soon to tell, is what's going to happen with the Z generation who have just entered the workforce, and what level we're going to get this to with the next generation based on what they're seeing happening with the millennials. It's going to be very, very interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, and I hear that you're saying some of the things that are main drivers for women in the way that they like to communicate and contribute are also the main drivers for this next generation, male or female, coming into the workforce. So if I was a male in a leadership role right now, and I was starting to make decisions around the future of the company and where we're going and who we're looking to lead the company and what kind of things would be necessary for me to be thinking about?
Well, I would be thinking about what my own personal leadership style was going to be and what my career path was and where I wanted to apply the soft skills, the emotional intelligence skills, and basic coaching knowledge. That is now becoming one of the top drivers for millennial leaders when they're looking to hire, and for the older millennials and for the younger millennials coming out of college. It's no longer about your technical skills. It's about those soft, I use hair quotes every time I say it, soft skills, because they're really not soft skills. They're hard skills to learn if you've not been indoctrinated with those at a young age. That's why coaching is really important in learning basic communication skills and coaching skills. That would be my number one advice to someone asking me that question is find out how to relate to people, all people. Male or female, young or old, if you can relate to people and you have the personable skills, the interpersonal skills, you're going to go far no matter what you do technically for a living.
So true. A complete agreement there. And when I want to flip that on its head and talk about the other side of it. And if I'm a female and I'm looking to lead, it doesn't really matter, in my opinion, whether you're looking to lead an organization or you're looking to lead a group or you're looking to lead your family. This is all the same stuff. This is all the same conversation. And I'm going to leverage you like we've been talking about, Scott, and ask you for your opinion. You know, I'm a female. I know my opinion on this, but what's your opinion for a female listening to this? What's important for them to understand?
Well, I think the same rule applies. I think that interpersonal skills and understanding how to communicate with a wide variety of different people from different generations, male or female, different political geographic locations, how you were raised, those are very, very important. And I also think that it's important to understand, as you so eloquently put it earlier, that to understand your value and don't be influenced by the old male-dominated society way of thinking, because that's done. That's gone. That's no longer going to exist. Even though some people may cling to that, you bring value, and your value is really needed to bring balance to the workplace and to life in general.
Love it. I love that. Find your value and bring it forth and contribute from that place. It doesn't matter if you're male or female.
Bring it.
It's all the same. Bring it. That's right. Bring it. We need you in this world. That's fantastic. Well, Scott, thanks for taking time out. I know you're even on vacation and you're willing to come and be with me today, so I really appreciate that. But
glad
let's give a little bit of information to the listeners. How can they reach you if they have any comments, questions, or are looking for your services?
Find me on my website, which is creative-conflict-solutions.com. And you can always just Google Scott Sadler Coach and you'll find me there. I'd be more than willing to talk to you and provide any more further feedback. This has been a fast show with a big topic. So don't hesitate to reach out if I could be of any assistance.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Scott, for joining us. And for all of you listeners out there, join me next time, which will be June 8th. When I have Greg Stiles coming back, and we're going to further our conversation that we started on how to build confidence in those around us. So thanks, everyone, for listening. If you have any questions for me, you can reach me at womenthatlead.com. And until next time, have yourself a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining Jenna on today's program, Women That Lead, Our Leading Edge. For more information regarding today's show or on any of the programs Women That Lead offers, please visit www.womenthatlead.com. Until next time, lead with alignment, passion, and purpose.